Yes, if you have your Bible, you want to grab that and your insert. God is growing us deeper, individually and as a community together. And our summer series has been designed to help us grow deeper spiritually, which will be reflected in a number of ways, including a deeper faith, a resolve to trust the Lord in all circumstances, a deeper joy, a deeper knowledge of the truths of God. There are some things that we do that help us grow deeper. We've talked about some of those: studying the Word of God, developing and cultivating a life of prayer and faith, sometimes fasting and saying no to certain things. And then there are other experiences which are quite outside of our own control, things that come to us in life, and then in God's beautiful design, those things, sometimes challenging, can result in leading us into a deeper life with Christ. They would not perhaps have been our design, but they come to us. I'm referring to suffering that sometimes God uses. Often He can. I would say that always He can use it for our good. Suffering comes in many forms, few as powerful as loss. There are many forms of loss. You can lose a job, you can lose a friendship, you can lose a marriage, you can lose a reputation, and you can lose a loved one. Today, our aim is to share some hope for the hurting. And for those who are not yet hurting, but whose suffering may be yet ahead, a framework for you to believe in. A framework on which to build your life if your most intense grief is still in the future. These are principles to be learned and affirmed in advance. I want to share six of them with you. You're getting your pencil. They're worthy. Because sometimes we live in an illusion that life will be grand. And we work hard to make it grand. And then it happens. In all different kinds of forms, we experience life's challenges. I would say to every, particularly young person here today, building your life with a framework of understanding how God can utilize loss and suffering before it comes your way is really helpful for you. So number one, while suffering is common to all, grieving is a process uniquely experienced. Grieving is a process uniquely experienced. That is to say that grief is experienced differently by different individuals. And there is no formula, no science, no precise way to say, oh, well, this is how you handle it, except by turning to the truths of God and letting Him guide us through. That is to say that people respond differently. And grief, especially the grief of loss, whatever that loss may be, is a process to be worked through and in some sense to be lived through. It's in the pages of Scripture that we learn people of faith who suffered great loss. The loss of loved ones, the loss of family, the loss of kingdoms. These kinds of losses found that God was near to the brokenhearted, that He was able to come to those who suffer. Our losses, wherever they are real. In the church, we don't say, well, that's nothing. No, it's something. Pain is real. Suffering is real. Our wounds are sort of the touch, and they take time to heal. And the process of acclimating to life after a loss is different for every individual, but there are some common biblical truths that can create a foundation of faith. And these truths, known and believed ahead of time, can be just this kind of safety net that we're talking about. So when I say to you this morning that it's experienced differently, and then if I give you an example or we share an example of how it happened, we understand, embrace, that it's different for everyone. Suffering is common to all, but we travel through it in different ways. What we embrace together are the truths of God. And we have the unique experience this morning of hearing a voice from our our congregation, someone within our church family, one of our members, Becky Jankosko, who experienced a loss in her life when about 10 years ago. And I've asked Becky if she would come this morning to share a bit of her story of the loss that she and her husband Bill, who've been at Calvary for 20 years, experienced some 10 years ago, and some of the biblical truths that God has taught to them as a family as they experienced that. We're glad you're here, Becky.
Thank you.
Maybe you should say good morning to Becky.
Good morning. Thank you, Tom. You know, it's hard to believe that it's been 10 years since our son Matthew was killed in a motorcycle accident. And I actually remember sitting on the front row right here celebrating his death. But it's been a unique experience, something I never expected to experience in my life. And just want to tell you a little bit about that experience. Our daughter at the time was 19. She was a freshman at CSU. And Matthew was a sophomore at CU. And we have a picture, the first picture. This is Matthew at his high school graduation in 1999. Our family's picture together. And after high school, Matthew decided to defer college for a year and go into the Army National Guard Reserves. I have to tell you, this is actually an exciting time for me to be in front of you and tell you about my son. Because when you lose a child, you know, they ask you about your daughter, but nobody asked me about my son. So I get to tell you this morning a little bit about him. And that's a joy for me. He deferred school for a year, and he joined the reserves. And after his boot camp and basic training, he came back to Colorado, and he enrolled at CU in the engineering program. We have another picture. This is Matthew and Bill. And Matthew, this was taken 2 weeks before Matthew died. It was Easter Sunday, and Matthew joined us at church that morning. And it was actually my birthday, and we were celebrating that day together. Our country experienced in 2001 9/11. And so Matthew was called up to active duty. So that fall, he dropped out of school, and he served at DIA. And he returned to school then in January of 2002. I think we have another picture of Matthew. I want to tell you who he was, because he was a bright kid. He was very smart. He loved people. He loved life. And he was a challenging child. This is a child who was always at least two steps ahead of me. He was inquisitive. As a kid, he would take things apart. He sometimes he put them back together again. But engineering was a great place for him as a career because he loved to see how things worked. He was also an entrepreneur. When he was about 10 or 11, he actually had his own business. He started a lawn mowing business. And then when he was about 15, he actually had a computer business. He called it Mr. Computer. And he did not only build computers, but he also repaired them. When he died in his last semester at school, he was working on a project. It was a mechanical glove. This is how much he loved people. He was working on a mechanical glove that would aid the elderly in unscrewing jar lids. He had a great sense of humor. He had a wonderful laugh. I can remember he and Bill would be watching television together, and they would start laughing, and Matthew had the most infectious laugh that you can imagine. He was also very thoughtful. As he grew into a young man, he was kind and full of gratitude. A few months before he died, he sent us a letter. And it was a letter thanking me for taking him out to get some supplies and furniture and things for his apartment. And in the letter, it was really generally a letter telling us thank you for being his parents. Matthew died in April of 2002. He was full of life and full of energy, and he was precious to us, and he was also precious to God. But I want to tell you what God has done in our lives through the journey. Where I am now, where you see me today, is not where I was in the beginning. It's been a process. It's taken 10 years. And God has walked us through it step by step, day by day, sometimes hour by hour and minute by minute. So I want to share with you four life-giving truths that have helped shape our lives. And it begins with the fragility of life. So my first truth for you this morning is life is fragile and teaches us to number our days. You know, I gave you a flavor of who Matthew was. He was 21 when he died. Full of energy, he had hopes and dreams. He was looking forward to the future. He was studying engineering, but a few weeks before he died, the week before he died, he called me and we had this wonderful conversation. And he said, "Mom, I've just been to a medical seminar. And I'm going to finish my engineering degree, but then I want to go to medical school. I want to be a doctor." To the world, Matthew's death would seem untimely. But then you need to go to the scriptures. And this is what the scripture says, Psalm 139:16. "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." See, God knew the number of Matthew's days. He knows the number of your days, and he knows the number of my days. And I can't tell you that that's easy for me. That's not easy for me. Of course I wanted to have my son here with me today, but that was not God's plan for him or for us. God knows the number of your days, even though we don't. So what that tells us is how important it is to live our days wisely. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90:12. I wonder for most of us if we can honestly say that we live our days with an eternal perspective. When you lose a child and you come face to face with death, you know, your priorities begin to change. Your perspective changes. And you look at things differently. When I go to bed at night, I try to ask myself, what did I do today that made an eternal difference? You know, we live in a world that says, it's all about me. But God says, no, it's all about me. And so when we experience the loss of a child or a loved one, it brings us face to face with the brevity of life. But it also brings us to the urgency of knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Today is the day of salvation. If you're sitting there this morning and you're sitting on the fence and you don't know Jesus as your Lord, you don't know if today is your last day. Today could be the last day. So don't wait. The choice that you make to know Jesus as your Lord is the most important choice of your entire life. And if you don't choose, well, you know, you've already made a choice. Because, you see, if you choose Jesus, then you'll spend the rest of your days, all eternity, with God and with our Lord Jesus. But if you don't choose, you'll spend the rest of your days eternally separated from him. Don't put it off. Don't wait till tomorrow. It's the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. Loss also provides us with the opportunity to turn to God in faith. You know, God was our comfort during those very, very difficult days. God was the one who comforted us in every way. And so the next truth that I want to leave with you is that faith sees God in the details. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 begins, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction." God was so good to us. He's always good. But he was so good to us in those days and weeks and months and even the years after Matthew's death. His provision was in the smallest of details. You know, it goes back to where he placed us, where we were living. We were in a neighborhood of friends who were Christians, who became our best friends and have walked us through this journey. On the morning that Matthew died, I was with my Bible study advisor, a woman who had lost her son 7 years before. Now, that's God in the details, because only God could sovereignly accomplish something like that. Those neighbors that I was talking about, they were the ones who, in the days leading up to Matthew's funeral, took care of my parents. My father was in the final stages of Parkinson's, and there's no way that Bill and I could have taken care of them in those days. It was right before the tax season, and Bill was working on our taxes, and the members of our congregation came and just said, "I'll take care of it. Just don't worry about it." Down the road, God arranged for me to run into a woman who had been in one of my Bible study groups. She was a Christian grief counselor, and she spent many, many hours and weeks and months with me, helping me walk through the grieving process. Now, that is faith in God, that God is in the details and that he arranged sovereignly things that only he could have accomplished. But it takes faith to see that. Faith assures us that God is still working in the difficult times, in the difficult days, in the difficult circumstances, that he's still working, that he's here with us, and that he's still providing for all of our needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I can't even tell you the countless ways that God was in all of the details. There were so many of them that they could fill a book. Bill and I were overwhelmed with the grace and the kindness of God's people during that time. It's the community of God's people that are an indispensable resource during times of loss. And that's the next truth that I want you to take with you today. The passage in Corinthians continues on, "The God of all comfort comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." See, God gives the gift of people to those who are suffering. You were the gift. You're the hands and feet of Christ. You're Jesus with skin on. It was humbling to be the recipient of the grace and kindness of all of you. And it's the little things that mean so much. Just your presence, a smile, a hug, a card, a meal, some help with some of the simple things that your mind is unable to comprehend and take care of. Scripture says, mourn with those who mourn. You know, sometimes just sitting with someone quietly, no words are even needed. Weep with those who weep. Shed a tear with them. Hold their hand. Hug them. Just love on them. You know, I've watched many of you very sweetly come up to one of our members who's recently lost her husband and do just that. Hug her, give her a few kind words, and love on her. God has given Bill and Liz and I the privilege of being able to comfort others who are and have gone are going down the same path that we have experienced. What a privilege that has been. You know, this is where you see God take the ashes and bring something beautiful from it. Your prayer. Prayer is so important during this time. You know, I would get on my knees and I wanted to pray and no words would come. In fact, the only words that came out of my mouth were, "Oh God." But your prayers were the prayers that were comforting God's people and when they're in suffering. Your prayers are so important. The scripture became so clear to both Bill and me that the Spirit was interceding with groans that are too deep for words because we had no words and we couldn't even express that to our Lord. So it was comforting to know that people were praying for us. So pray. Pray. Well, my last truth for you is really where the rubber meets the road. Because do you continue on with God in the midst of tragedy and hard teaching? Or do you run the other way? Tragedy implores us to cling to God and His Word. I'm not going to gloss over this because I can tell you that what I wanted to do, I wanted to run as fast as I could, as hard as I could, as far away as I could go. I just wanted to run away and never come back. I didn't want to run away from God. I wanted to run away from the situation and the circumstance. You know, it was a nightmare, and I was hoping that I would wake up and it would all be gone. And it was just that, a nightmare. But the reality is that it wasn't a nightmare. And this is my new reality. But during this time, God brought to my mind a passage of scripture from John chapter 6. Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, and they were following him. And he began to say, "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood will have eternal life, and he will be raised up on the last day." Now, this was a hard teaching for the disciples, and many of them at that time turned away from Jesus. They turned the other way, and they walked away from him. Jesus went to the 12, and he asked them, "You don't want to go away also, do you?" And Simon Peter spoke for them, and he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You see, that's what it was like for us. We were clinging to God and his word with all our strength, with all our might. God and his word was our comfort. Scripture says, "Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you." Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. See, God was our lifeline during these difficult times. And God's promises, God's word, are a reservoir of hope in the difficult times. You know, a reservoir is a lake where the water is kept. But for us, the reservoir for Scripture is in our hearts. And so we need to take the Scripture and put it in our hearts. We have to fill that reservoir with Scripture. And it's so important for the roots to go deep. Because you see, if the roots don't go deep, then it's just so easily blown away when the difficult times come. Last summer, we were doing some landscaping at our house, and we had a pine tree that we needed to take out. So we cut it down to the stump, and we had a bobcat come to pull it out. And they tried and tried, and they couldn't get the stump out. So Bill and I got out with our little shovels, and we began digging down deep and down deep. And the root was 15 and a half inches. That's how deep, how big the root was. But you see, that's the kind of root you need when tragedy comes, because you've got to go deep. So you repeat the promises to yourself. That's what I did. I repeated those promises to myself. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You will never leave me nor forsake me. Your love endures forever. You are faithful. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You see, you have to put it in order to take it out. I also went sometimes to the hymns, phrases from the hymns, and also many of the praise songs. A couple of weeks ago, we sang a praise song. Oh no, you never let go. You never let go of me through the calm and through the storm. And the words go on. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles. But until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you, even when the tears are running down my face. You know, when I look, Tom's going to come up in a minute. He's going to finish up this morning. But when I look over the congregation, you know, I know many of you have experienced difficult times in your life, difficult circumstances, and I don't presume to talk for you. But what I can tell you is these are some of the things that God has taught us through the death of our precious sweet Matthew. May God be glorified.
Thank you. Thank you, Becky. It's important to hear the voices of our congregation where we are. There's one more principle I would say to you, and it goes like this. There is a degree of mystery in loss and sorrow and suffering. The Bible is filled with a sense of mystery in David, who frequently said, "How long, O Lord? How long? Why? Why me? Why now?" I remember saying to Becky, who had the same question, why? I don't know whether the answer will come to you in time or eternity. But we don't know. There's mystery. And the Scripture affirms that the secret things belong to God. And the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all that's in the word of the Lord. The word of the law. Secret things are God's. We don't always know. Could I say thank you, Becky, for sharing your story, and Bill, too, for your life with us in our church. And I hope that all of you who are sitting here today know how important the community of our church is, how important it is for you to be connected with other people. And then when suffering comes, that we are really aware that simple presence with someone who suffers is far more powerful than simple answers. When you don't know what to say, because you don't know why. Job's counselors were rebuked by God when they presumed to know the reason that calamity came to Job's life. We're careful not to do that. This is what we know. God will walk through the valley of the shadow of death with us. And in time, by grace, through faith, just as you came to Christ, by grace, through faith, God may turn that deep water into a source of a wellspring of life, of faith for you. May God meet you in your suffering, wherever you are today. And may His grace be sufficient for you to meet you where you are. And may all of us sort of rest in the Lord and say, Lord, will you lead us into a deeper life with you? I want to close this in prayer this morning. This is the way we'll end this morning. We're going to close in prayer. And just pray silently for a moment. As you think about your experiences and the trials that you've faced and what's ahead for you, let's just pray and say, God, would your grace be on us? Teach us to number our days, that we would live with a heart of wisdom. Don't presume to know you know the future. We know God. That's enough. Right? We know God. We trust in Him. Well, Father, I pray that your grace will be on us. That today, as we think about the role that you allow suffering to play in our lives, that lead us to be precise in our faith, to have precision in the direction of our life, I ask you to lead each of us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And even in these difficulties, lean not on our own understanding. I pray that you will be a refuge to us and near to the brokenhearted, that you will confirm your goodness to our hearts and souls, and that you'll strengthen the weak and give grace to the brokenhearted. I thank you that from this suffering experience, you've given a voice among our congregation through Becky and Bill to teach us some of your grace in loss. And we just say now, to you be the glory, you who give and take away, to you be the glory, now and forevermore, we pray. Amen.